All right, welcome. If you did not get a pink pen when you came in, please get one on the way out. So I am Jay Martin. I am the Director of Women's Leadership here at Southern Seminary, and we are very excited that you're here. We have been anticipating your arrival, and I am thrilled that I can be with you this weekend. I live in Houston, Texas, and you may be saying, I thought she just said she worked here. I do. It's a global world. And so I am married. I grew up in East Tennessee, in Kingsport, Tennessee, and went to the University of Tennessee, and then got my degree in interior design. God moved me to Houston. That's a long story, but that's the short version. God moved me to Houston. I had dated the man I married. My husband was in Houston. We ended up dating in Houston, but we had met on a mission trip in up in South Dakota when I was in college. And so go on those mission trips, ladies. You never know what the Lord might do. But we had just written letters, no big deal at the time. And so both ended up in Houston and dated and got married a few years later. I felt like God was calling me into the ministry and went and just said to him, I feel like God's calling me to quit my job and do that. And he just said, oh, of course, that makes so much sense. And so he, at the time, was an engineer and then became an attorney, went back to law school and became an attorney. So he's an attorney in Houston. And so I was able to serve there at our church, at First Baptist Church in Houston. I went to seminary there. The Houston had an extension program. Got pregnant my second semester in seminary. Nothing like being pregnant and at seminary. So I was pregnant there and then able to just really stay home with my daughter, volunteer at church, all those kinds of things. And then about the time she started kindergarten, my church hired me. And that wasn't such an easy thing, okay? I'm leaving out all the stuff that I do classes on here about, but how to work and how to deal with men and how to deal with all the challenges that there are being a woman in ministry. But as I was there and serving, and the Lord opened up that door, and so I started doing just women's ministry, which was ministering to women, discipling them. It was back in the days before there was such a thing as women's ministry. There were two churches in the Southern Baptist Convention who had that. And so was able to just be a part of that ministering to women mode that was going on. There were things going on in churches and some mission groups, but there were not churches that were really discipling women from other women. And that's sort of a Titus 2 thing that the Lord has given us. And so that was exciting to get to be on the ground floor and a part of all that. And so I was able to do that. And then they made me minister of evangelism as well. So I was minister of evangelism, women in prayer at the mega church, Houston First Baptist Church. And they were able to work around my schedule with my daughter, which was incredible. And always helpful in that area. I wouldn't have been doing it had they not been. And so that was a great experience for me. And then after serving there for 8 years, North American Mission Board called me and said that they had a spot for women's evangelism. And so it's women's evangelism strategists. They wanted me to come to Atlanta and live. And I said, there is no way I'm going to Atlanta and live. My daughter was in fifth grade, and I just said, no way, forget it, you know, don't call me, you know, call somebody else. And so basically they said there wasn't anyone else. Pray about it, think about it. I said, I don't have to pray about it or think about it. That's, you know, we're not moving. So I was telling my husband that they called, and he goes, oh, that's perfect. We've got friends in Atlanta. We have family in Atlanta. Let's go do that. He was at a stage that he wanted to change. And so, you know, I just, you know, we prayed through that and not feel right about just moving. He said what he really felt good about was that if he could still be the provider, that God had called him to be the provider, and that if he could find a job before, you know, we moved, that he would be fine with me starting. So North American Mission Board let me start, and we prayed and felt like this was the thing to do. Never really honestly feeling good about the moving to Atlanta part, but knowing that God would work it out or I could quit, either one, it didn't really matter. And knew my church would probably take me back if that was an issue. But after 3 years of us praying about it, looking for jobs, God never opening up an opportunity for him to be able to serve there. He is in admiralty law, which is shipping and cargo, and there are no ships coming in and out of Atlanta. And his backup degree is engineering, which is, of course, you know, oil and gas, none of that in Atlanta either. So God definitely did not have an open door for him there. And so I kept quitting, and finally North American Mission Board came up with the concept of me living in Houston and being able to work and deal with them. So most of my stuff was on email and faxes, and then I would go somewhere and do a workshop for a day or two. And so it really worked out well for me to be able to stay at home. In fact, I was probably home more at that point than I had been then, and I was serving on the church staff. And so it was just a great opportunity, and we were able to do that. And then several years ago, I was had been teaching at all the different seminaries, Southern Baptist, teaching evangelism. And the people at Southern asked me, and I began to work on my doctorate and come here to work here. And so I am home most of the time, but I do come up here for 3 or 4 days at a time, usually 3 days, and sometimes come up for Monday through Friday and teach. The women's leadership area at Southern is a really cool area because it's fairly new. And what we do is we teach women to be able to serve in the local church. And so as she's serving, whether her heart is for missions or her heart is for kids or heart for women, then we help them to know how they can administrate some things, lead and work with men and all those kinds of crazy things. So it's very, very exciting. We have a major called Master of Divinity in Women's Leadership. There's also a Master of Arts in that same degree. And then there's also a new one we started this fall, Master of Divinity in Women's Leadership with a minor in Biblical Counseling. We have a lot of women who, because of the culture especially, are wanting to know how do you counsel people biblically and what does that look like. And we have a great biblical counseling area here as well. But our degree for women helps them to know how to get a job and work with men and how to lead as they're leading women. So those are the main ones that we focus on, but there's a lot of others. There's a lot of organizations on campus that deal with women, so I'm able to administrate those. So very exciting to be here. There's a lady here, Dr. Janice Seifried, who works with me, and then Mary Cassian, who comes in and teaches. You may not be familiar with Mary Cassian, but you need to be. She does incredible stuff from Canada, very funky lady and dynamic, wrote the book on the feminist mistake and then teaches our feminist theology class and also women in prayer class. And she has a new book coming out called, she has a lot of books out. Lifeway has published a lot of her work, and also Moody is publishing one called Girls Gone Wise. And this fall there will be a conference that she will be one of her kickoff conferences, because the book's coming out in April. I have the first pages, so it's very exciting to have that already before it's printed. But we will kick that off the weekend before Thanksgiving. So it's a Friday night and Saturday. We would love to have you. There is credit available for that if you're interested in coming as a special student while you're in college and getting some credit. You can certainly do that. But it is very exciting. Some of the girls last time were asking some of these questions, so that's why I'm starting off with some of them and sharing that with you. But we would love to have you for that, and we would love to talk to you if you feel like the Lord is calling you to do something and you want to talk about his call. That is certainly what we're here for. So you can friend me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter or do both, and so feel free to do that. We also have a Facebook group for prospective students. So I think if you'll put Southern Women Perspective, then you know it should come up. And so we would love to have you as a part of that to network with some other people. So we're excited about the things that God is doing. Someone in the last group was asking, do we have students with jobs? Oh yes, we have students with jobs. So a lot of our students are getting hired to do girls ministry. A lot of them being hired to do, always there's a huge need for working with children and working with preschool ministry. And so some of the jobs, if you, on the tables, you will see hopefully a green flyer front and back. There's a little card about women, and on two sides are two of our students who have really big time jobs. And one of them is Regina Gibson, who is at Lifeway. She's just stopped to have a baby. She just had a baby, a little boy. But She was the women's specialist at Lifeway, and she was over working with Chris Adams, if you're familiar with Chris. And she was over postmodern women, so young women, and African-American women, and also non-Southern Baptist Convention women. So a huge appointment for one of our students straight out of school. And then the other one is Lauren Farmer. Her picture's on there as well. And Lauren has just been hired as the student event leader at Lifeway. So she works in student events, so she's got some long title. I don't know exactly what it is, but basically that's what she does. So that's exciting. And like I said, a lot of others. One of our grads is Jennifer Lyle, who she is at B&H Publishing. She's the women's acquisitions editor. And so basically she is the one who says whether something gets published or not from Broadman Holman from B&H, which is incredible to think that we have these women who are trained and able to do that. Plenty in churches and working on the mission field, and certainly a lot of other traditional opportunities. But editors, we have one of our students now who works at Lifeway as a preschool editor, and certainly there are a lot of others out there doing things. But these are exciting times for us. God is really blessing. And so any way we can help you, we are trying to have more online opportunities and different things for you. So just know that our office is here to minister to you and help. So you just feel free any time. So today we are looking at what it means to be a godly woman. And so I'm just wondering, what does a godly woman look like? Tell me, in the culture that we are living in, okay, what does a godly woman look like? Just somebody give me one thing or one phrase.
A servant.
A servant, sure. We want to serve people. We want to show servanthood. I am one of those people who really just, can I just be honest and tell you, I don't love to serve. I have that spiritual gift of leadership, which also means my slant, in my particular case, is not serving. So if I take a spiritual gift inventory and, you know, it has all those questions, I don't check anything off on that, okay? But does that mean I don't have to serve? No. That means I get to serve. That means I get to look for ways to serve you. It means that I do my own handouts. It means I do my own PowerPoints. It means I still serve. And so we want to be serving. We always want to look for ways that we can serve other people. And that's real easy until somebody comes up demanding service, isn't it? And then it's like, oh, listen, quite so easy. I liked it better when it was my idea on how I was going to serve. Maybe your church really wants you to serve, and you want to teach a Bible study for young girls, and your church says, no, we need you to serve and keep the babies. And you're like, I don't want to keep the babies. I want to do something significant. Well, you know what? It's very significant to keep babies so that moms can study and learn the Word of God. And so we have to serve. We want to serve in the community, serve in the church, but servanthood, yes, absolutely, right at the top of what we want to do. What else? As a godly woman, what does that look like?
Submissive to others.
Give me some examples of how we might be submissive to other people. Yeah, they're the top two right there. To the spouse, if you're married, to your parents maybe. If you're not, they may still be paying the bills. And so there you go. You know, you're grown, but you're not. You're as grown as they're still got that financial tie going, right? And that can be very difficult, because maybe the way they see you going is not the way that you want to be going. And so it's a matter of prayer, it's a matter of being respectful, and it's a matter of just working through that, but being submissive. And to leaders at church. I'm sure that probably many of you, even if you don't want to tell about it, have had a situation where you didn't want to be submissive to a leader, or you wanted to go a different direction. As you come even more into, you know, full-blown adulthood, where you're carrying on responsibilities and leading and involved in ministry, you're going to have days that you do not agree with the person you're working for. You do not agree with your boss. You think we need to go this direction. But I have learned the hard way that God honors us to be submissive and to say, okay, I just want to share with you, this is not what I'm thinking, but I'm going to go. And if I can't go with you and underneath you and be submissive to you, then I will, you know, pull out. In a work situation, in a leadership situation, you have that. Obviously at home, you don't have a choice. So you get to still be submissive. It's true for guys as well. They have to be submissive to their higher authority, to not only to the Lord, but also if they're not the senior pastor, they have to be submissive there. If they're working, they have to be submissive. Guys tend to understand authority a little bit better than women do. Anybody ever notice that? They're pretty much brought up. You work hard, you work with the team, and if you really pull hard on the team, you might get to lead the team. And so that's how guys operate together. Women, we come together and we go, no, I don't want to be on the team. I want to go around the team. I want to get out of this. And so I have had to learn, okay, I have to stay with the team. I have to work for the team. I have to serve with the team. And so God honors that. So all of us learn a little bit differently. Some submission comes easier for than others, but definitely we all have to be submissive. What else do we need to do to be a godly woman? Yes, ma'am. We are firm and we don't give into the cultures of the world. Amen. That is difficult to do. What are some ways that women can give in to the cultures? What do we see women doing that they're giving in to some of the culture?
Put the alignment with their self-worth, confidence.
Exactly. What they align their self-worth with, their identity, their confidence, what anything that is not Christ, as you align with something different, then certainly that affects us. What else, what other ways do we see women fall into the culture?
Their dress.
Their dress, really? Who said that? Yeah, tell us some ways that women maybe don't dress like a godly woman.
Well, just like basically all the clothes, like they sell it nowadays.
Yes, clothes. Yes, basically most of the clothes you can buy don't fall in with being a godly woman. Do you ever picked up on that? It is amazing. I have several people that I know who are trying to start clotheslines for modesty, you know, because it's so difficult to be able to, you know, live that out. I have this thing that we've come up with to say in my book, my friend and I that wrote a book on called Women Leading Women. It is no cracks in the front or in the back. I hate that we look at the news and, you know, we see cleavage. And if it's hard for us to concentrate, don't you know that it's very difficult for some of these young men and older men to concentrate? So the way that we wear our clothes, the way that we present ourselves. Yes, ma'am.
I was just going to say, like, it's also a way that we can set ourselves apart from the world, too. You know, like when people, like, see a woman dressing nicely, that they're, like, you know, like, she's sticky, like, it's a major way to show, like, that we're different. Even if they can't, like, get to know us, like, just see.
That's exactly right. And it is hard. I promise you, I know my daughter is 23 now and she's a student here, but I know from college and from high school days, it's difficult. It's difficult when everybody has cleavage showing but you. It's difficult when you're going to a dance and it's all about, you know, how you're dancing instead of being conservative in your dance and being respectful in your dance. And so these are huge issues that you deal with and I deal with. Unfortunately, it's not just the young ones that we deal with. There are people my age and older who even come on this campus for classes, maybe for the Women's Ministry Institute or some other classes. Maybe they're in the master's program, and you see them crying out for attention because, you know, there's the cleavage showing. And, you know, it's just, it's very difficult. They've never thought about the fact that that needs to match what we believe. And so it's very hard. You may not realize the significance of it, but the older you get, you will start realizing, oh my goodness, the messages that we send. These young men on this campus may be looking at someone with the cleavage, but they are looking to take as their wife someone who will be modest because they've got to go to a church and they do not want to take someone who is hanging out all over the place. And so it's very, very hard. It's hard to be the only one who adds an insert in your dress for the prom or for the as you're in college, and to you know, to wear something that's a little more conservative. But God will honor you. He will honor you to do that. And so sometimes our clothes set us apart. We want to be in the world but not of the world, so we don't want to take ourselves out of every situation, but we do want to be careful about the situations we put ourselves into, and certainly about what we wear. And it's difficult. There's no doubt. I know I've made mistakes in the past with what I've worn, with what I've allowed my daughter as she was young to wear, and I know that there are, you know, probably some of you have been in the same boat. So it's not about, you know, being perfect. It's about saying, wow, I don't want to be seen for the wrong reasons. I want people to know me and love me for my love, you know, my love for the Lord. So it's very, 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 very hard in the culture. When I was growing up, you know, even not too many years ago, there was no internet, and so you had to go, say, to an adult bookstore to put yourself underneath some of the junk and images that were seen. And so I haven't done that ever, but boy, I tell you what, click on a wrong email and there's your website coming up, and various different things. I took a group of students to the mall, and we had to leave because the whole point was, let's see how long it takes for the enemy to get us off by what we're looking at. And just the images of mannequins in the mall and the things people had on can easily draw us in. So the culture is screaming, I need, but the culture can draw us and make us think, okay, it's okay, it must be okay. I don't think twice about that. Some of the movies that I have seen, I've known that when you, the first time you see it, you say you're appalled at some of the comments in there. And after you've seen it a few times, even if it's still a good movie, there's some phrases and things in there you don't even drop your mouth open at, because you become immune sort of to the things. And so we have to be careful that we're in this world, and careful to just keep looking at the Lord and keep coming back. Anytime that something comes in and we allow that to block us from the Lord, you know, when you think about it, sin blocks us from the Lord. And even if you've accepted Christ, then let me give you an illustration. If you're God and I'm me, and sin comes into my life, then I'm going to feel that distance. I'm going to feel something separating us, because that's sin. I know the Lord, I know you're there, but that sin blocks us. And so we have to confess our sins so the Lord can remove that. And so sometimes sin comes into our lives and we wonder, why am I not hearing from God? Why am I not sensing what God wants me to do? Because there's something going on in our lives. And sometimes it's not something that we sought after to be wrong. It's just the impact of the world we live in. So we have to keep coming back. You need some friends that you can be accountable to and with, that maybe together you say, you know what? I'm just realizing I cannot do this. I need help. And let's help each other. And let's decide that we're going to seek after the Lord and learn together what's acceptable and what's not. And yes, every situation's different. Every part of the country's different. But there are some givens, and some givens would be showing honor to Christ by what we say and what we wear and all of that. What are some other things, ways even the culture can grab us and pull us in? Yes. That's right.
You're going out and, like, you know, drinking and all that stuff, like, you just feel lonely. You're like, well, I mean, I feel, you know, it's like, I can't do that, because then, like, I'll just feel so horrible if I do that, but then at the same time, like, I don't want to feel lonely. So, it's just, like, this year, like, you know, making up so many more Christian friends and stuff is definitely great support.
Right, and if you are, like, for instance, you're, you know, volleyball, right? So I thought that's what you said. But you're playing volleyball, you're with a team, you're on trips with them. There are going to be times that you're going to be with them. And so to be able to sit with them and to not participate, you may be strong enough, and I'd say for every single person it's different. If you can be strong enough to not participate with them and still be with them, that is the ideal because they need your influence. It sounds good to go sit in the room by yourself, and you may need to do that at times, but it's also good to be with them so that they're not influencing you. How do you do that? Well, you've got to have a network of people outside of that group as well. Maybe through a Bible study, through church, or other group that you're connecting with, so that they can be praying for you as you go. And boy, when you know somebody's praying that you're not going to be drinking, you know they're going to ask you when you get back. You know, I mean, you just got that accountability set up so that you don't feel like you're alone. You know that they're with you on it. And it's difficult, even for my age, believe it or not. My neighborhood, I have realized over the years that I need to be involved in my neighborhood. And I don't need to just be just with my Christian friends doing everything together. And I need to be a salt and light. I need to be out there making a difference. And they have happy hours every single time there's a birthday or the wind blows or whatever. There's a happy hour, okay? It doesn't have to be too much of a special reason. We haven't had one in a week. Oh, let's have a happy hour. Well, that's the only time I'm going to see them, especially at this stage. When my daughter was younger, it was involved around mom things, like, you know, ended up being the Girl Scout leader, and so I would see the other moms, and I don't even like going outside, seriously. But God made me do that because that was the way I could get to know people. Your stage of life, you may need to get to know people through the art club. You know, you may like art, but you may not love it, but you may know that that's a good connection that you could meet some people who don't know the Lord. But we need to be out there. I need to go to the happy hour. Do I need to stay till 1 or 2 in the morning? No, because they don't even remember whether I stayed till 1 or 2 in the morning or not. What I do need to do is I need to go, and I need to be a part of it. And then know that I have people who are praying for me, so that for me it's not an issue whether I'm drinking or not. It is an issue for me to know that I don't get, you know, pulled down on the conversations, because sometimes the conversations can be, you know, this one, did you hear what happened? And at this age, when our daughters are older and out there doing some things, you start hearing, well, did you hear about so and so? Did you hear about so and so? Okay, I don't want to be caught in on that talk. And so knowing what I'm going to say, knowing how I'm going to get out of a situation, knowing when I need to say, oh, excuse me, I need to go talk to this person over here. And so I've been told that when I'm not there, that they don't have the counselor there, and they love, I don't even feel like I'm a counselor. That's not even my giftedness. But just, I feel like they know that the Lord is there. They, you know, I walk in, do you want a Diet Coke? You want some water? You know, and they're knowing that I'm not going to judge them, but I'm going to love them through whatever is going on. And that's very difficult. And so for all of us, and so I don't know exactly what you're going through, but whatever it is, you know, many of us have walked through that, and many others are walking through it, and you can feel very lonely as a believer. And I believe it's getting worse in this country. I wish I could tell you it was getting better, but I really feel like that it is not getting better. And so the need to surround yourself with some other godly women and some people who are accountable, and maybe hopefully some older women in your life as well, is very, very important so that we can stay focused. What are some other things in the culture that can impact us being a godly woman? Yes, ma'am.
Well, I think kind of along the lines of just conforming to the standards of the world, something that I've seen in my own life is a tendency to place my value and my identity in my appearance, you know, and whether it may not even be a modesty issue.
Yes, you're right.
Like, you know, how cool are my clothes, or, you know, does my hair look just right, you know, today?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Yes, and the appearance, because every single thing is about, do you have the latest haircut and the latest clothes? And, oh, the pressure. It's like you can never have the latest clothes, because there's always something else coming out. And when they have a
a fall line and a holiday line and a spring line, early spring line, and then a spring line, and then a summer line, and then everything's out of date because everything's on sale because you got to have the new thing that's coming in, you know? So, and if the color is green this year, everybody's got to have green. And if the color, how many of y'all are in green? There's several of you. I just all of a sudden realizing, you know, or purple. Anybody in here in purple? That's so, okay. It's the new, you know, plum. You've got to wear plum, or you've got to be, see another purple back there. But, you know, is that wrong? No, no, it's not wrong. It's wrong when it becomes the main focus, and that we're so preoccupied with how we look. Obviously, eating disorders are huge. I pray that you are not in that category, and if you are, that you will get some help, because you want to have a balanced lifestyle, and it's very, very important that you protect your body. I think that we are now seeing some of the negative effects of people not putting the right food in their bodies and not exercising and over-exercising. So it's just as much one way. It's just as sinful to over-exercise as it is to overeat. And I think people don't look at it that way. So you've got to create that balance for what the Lord is calling you to do. And it's difficult because there's a lot of pressure out there. And so, yeah, a lot of different things. Other things you're thinking about from the culture? So many more. What I want to do is to pull out your Bible, and we're going to look at Proverbs, and I'm going to pull through on the PowerPoint all the verses from Proverbs 31, starting with verse 10. And normally, let me just share this with you from a point of teaching. If I were going to teach through this, for the most part, I would pull out my Bible and actually read it from the scripture. It's very important that as we're teaching women and sharing things with women, that they know where this comes from. Now, I trust in this situation that you know that this is coming from the Bible, but it is something that when you're teaching, you want to make sure you're actually reading from the Word of God. I have one of my neighbors who went to a Bible study, but it was a book study, Bible study, and they went through their books and everything. She never understood. Now, keep in mind, very unchurched. Not a lot of background or any in church things. And so for her, she did not realize that it was a Bible study. And she was saying, I hear them say that it's a Bible study, but we're studying this book. She said, when does the Bible come in? And I said, wow, that's a really good question. Are y'all opening up your Bibles and ever reading it? She said, no, we just read out the book. I said, well, chances are there's some things in the book that were scriptures that you're reading. It was very important that as we're teaching women, that we open up the Word of God and do that. Now, for our purposes today, I had this printed on here. And so I just wanted to make that note of clarification. Don't do what I do. No, just wanted to make the clarification for this morning. So let's look. I've pulled out some points from Proverbs that I want us to focus on, and we're going to work through these verses. So starting with verse 10, an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. Some versions say a virtuous woman, some say a noble wife, but what we are looking for is the passage says, who can find this person? And that's maybe how we feel today. Who can even find someone who is pure, that the Lord is really worked through and is working through? And so we want to begin with saying we want to be women of integrity. We want to be women of character. And we want to make sure that we are living out what we say we believe. And a lot of times I think that we get those Sunday school answers going and that Sunday school life going and think, okay, I go, yes, I love Jesus and, you know, all this stuff, but then I can go live any way I want to. And so we want to make sure that to be a godly woman, that we are living that out. If we say this is what we believe, we definitely live that out. I remember growing up, my dad, my sister getting caught drinking. Now, don't let me just let my sister look bad, because unfortunately, I was out doing the same thing at times. But I didn't get caught. So my sister got caught. Sorry she got caught. Sorry we were drinking to begin with, okay? Now, we're both in the ministry and look back and have all different viewpoints on the whole thing. But my dad was a deacon, and my dad said, I am going to have to resign from being a deacon. Well, Dad, you are drinking. What's the problem? He said, because I have agreed to raise my daughters in such a way that does not condone that and to not be a part of that. And if my daughter's drinking, then I need to step back from being a deacon long enough to make sure that my relationship with the Lord is right, my relationship with the daughters is such that they understand why we believe that we should not be drinking, and I have to pull back from the church on that. Well, I mean, you talk about a guilt trip. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that doesn't make you think about the fact why you shouldn't drink, I mean, it really, it's like, oh my goodness, I am going to affect my dad's whole life over some little bitty thing. But that's what we should be doing. We should be living in such a way that says, wow, if the scripture is clear on this and we're reading the Bible, then I'm going to have to really bring my life in tune. And whatever needs to happen for me to pull out of something long enough to get my life in tune, then that is what needs to happen. And that's hard to do, isn't it? But we want to be those women of integrity. And we want to be women that are pure. We want to make sure that we keep coming back to the Lord saying, Lord, make me pure. Now, that's not just an age thing. It's not something that just you deal with when you're in college and then you never deal with it again. I'm 54 years old as of yesterday, and I still have to deal with the fact that I have to be pure. And what does that mean? Moment by moment basis. Am I thinking I'm trying to be impure? No. No, because my mind is set on things above. My mind is set on the Lord. But are there times when something can come into my heart and I'm thinking things I don't want to think? Yes, because we constantly have to keep going back and confessing before the Lord. So purity is not something that's just really a noun. Think of it as like a verb that is a purifying thing that the Lord has to do, that sanctification process where He is always having to make us pure. And then we want to have confidence at home. So not only does our character need to be there, but we want confidence. And here she's talking about at home, but we want to have confidence in what we're doing. We want to be so in tune with the Lord that we have that confidence. Proverbs 31:11-12, the heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. We want to make sure that we have balance in our lives. We don't want to be focusing on one thing and not focusing on everything else. Some of you may be already married, and some of you may even be moms. And as you do that, then you have a lot of people that need your attention. Your husband needs your attention. Your kids need your attention. The Lord needs your attention. And He sometimes needs you to concentrate on the attention on yourself to get some other things done. And so it is a balancing act. For me, as you already know, I live in Houston. I come up here to Louisville. I was at North Carolina for meetings this week for a couple of days. My daughter is now here. I can't remember if I said that as a seminary student, 23, I think I did. And so I could be pouring myself into my husband all the time. I could be pouring myself into just sitting with the Lord and basking in His presence and worship and not want to worry about anything all the time. But there's balance in my life. There's time for me to worship. There's time for me to be with my husband. And there's time for me to be with my daughter and still teach and work. But there's also time for me to just kick back and say, wow, we're not doing anything. What will happen is that I have been gone for a couple of days. I'm so excited that my husband met me up here this weekend and that we're here. And so we were able to celebrate last night together. And I'm having a great time with you today. My daughter and my husband are hanging out together. And he is so excited because he's not seen her since Christmas. And for you as a kid, you think, okay, I haven't seen my parents since Christmas either. But as a dad, I'm going to tell you what, he's dying. He hadn't seen her since Christmas. So he's used to her being an hour and 15 minutes from our house when he could jump in the car and go up and have lunch if he wanted to. And now he's not been able to come up and see her for weeks. And so it is important for them to get to be together. And what does God do? He works out all of our lives so that it's good for everyone. I get to see her more often because I come up here.
And so I've got to see her. So for him to have that time alone with her, they're working out. They had a day plan. They were going to work out, and they were going to go to lunch, and they were going to go then study. And he was going to sit and read while she studied so that she could, you know, have that accountability so she can focus on that. And then we'll go hang out tonight. So balance is something that's good for everybody, because they need the time together. I need the time to do this, and God works it all out for good. But it's also planning to have some downtime, okay? And it's planning to work and not neglecting the parts. So all the parts of your life are important, and the people, it's just knowing what is the priority. And so you have to stay in tune with the Lord on that. This says that she brings good to her husband and not harm. We want to make sure we're bringing good to people. We're bringing good to our husbands. You may have seen a woman, you may have seen this in a family relationship even, where a woman is constantly cutting down a man that she's married to, or cutting other people down. And so it's very important. It is not okay to do that. I don't care who it is. I don't care if she's a leader in our convention. It is not okay to cut down your husband, or even anyone for that matter. As a minister to women on a church staff, we did not allow someone to come in to speak that was going to be knocking other people or knocking her husband, even in fun. I don't hear. I will jerk somebody just like that if I feel like that they are saying things that are not positive about their mate, because that's just not God honoring. And so we have to be careful about that. We can be so quick to jump in and, you know, make that critical comment. And so it's just important for us to remember that we want to bring good. Then comfort. She looks her wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. Now that cracks me up, because I'm not working with wool and flax. Anybody in here sewing and working with wool and flax and baking the clothes for the family? Maybe you are. But in this day and age, it's good that we have clothes that are made. And maybe it's not good. Maybe some people would love to be making those. That's great. The thought here is that we're prepared for the family, that we are taking care of the family, that we're happy to do the work needed. Now, I'm not always happy to go and buy something that somebody needs. I'm not always happy to go and clean the house. But I have to set my mind in such a way that says I'm honoring the Lord when I do this. And so it's important that we are positive. And then we want to care for the family. Verses 14 and 15. She is like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. Don't you wish you had maidens to give portions to? I mean, I can so get into that, you know. I would love to have people that were just around that I could, you know, that would serve me. But that doesn't happen. So we provide. Again, it's that concept of providing. Maybe the food from afar is from McDonald's, okay? I don't know where the food from afar is. But it means that we're getting what they need, that we're going out of our way to make it happy, you know, a happy experience. If it's just you and your roommate and you're having dinner, man, somebody pull out a placemat and just make it a little bit more fun. Be creative. Stick something in the center of the table. Just give that extra effort to make it to be a fun thing. Work diligently, and the Lord will provide for you. And she looks to care for people. Then considers. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. So this is a woman, it's not that she's not working. She considers investments. She considers the risk. She buys things. She takes care of the opportunities that she has, and she is not going to waste money. She's not going to throw it away. She may want that $300 purse, and she may say, okay, I could do that if I saved up, you know, so much money every single month and earn that. But she's looking at that. She's considering that. She's thinking about that. She doesn't just go off on a whim and get caught up with everybody had to buy the $500 or $300 thing and then is caught in that. If you ever do that, feel free to take it back, okay? Feel free to do what you've got to do. And so you want to be thinking about your purchases and making sure that for you that that's the right decision. And a right decision for someone else doesn't mean it's someone for you.
She conquers things. It says she girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. So, yes, she's fit, but she's not just sitting around. She's absolutely in a conquering mode. I am woman, hear me roar, but I'm a woman and I'm proud and I'm going to do what God needs me to do. And if I need to, you know, take care of some things, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to look at the positive side of things. Then 7, in verse 18, she senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She's cautious to complete her task. Whatever the Lord has called her to do, she's not going to just say, okay, forget it. I'm not going to get halfway through college and say, okay, never mind, I'm not going to finish this. I started it, I'm going to finish it. Sometimes it may take longer than you planned. Sometimes it may take more money than you planned, but you're gonna keep going. If God's called you, you're going to follow through on that. And so that's what a godly woman is all about, making sure that she's doing what the Lord has called her to do. And then in verse 19, number 8, she creates. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. So again, she's creating things that her family needs and that she needs, whether it's clothes for the family or whether it's helping her kid with a science project or something. You'll find out about that later. If you didn't have help from your parents, I'm sorry, because some of us sit around helping kids do science projects and things, but she will do what it takes to help them. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She sees those in need, and then she looks to see how she can meet that need. Does it mean she has tons of money? No. We don't see that she has tons of money here, but she shares what she has, and she shares from the overflow of her heart to make a difference. She opens her hands to the community. And then 10, oh, I'm sorry, it was, she opens her hands to the community. Mm-hmm. And then number 10, she cares for her husband. In verse 23, her husband is known at the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. I heard someone years ago teach Proverbs 31, and they were using all the verbs and saying, she works, she sews, and all the things that she does. She's working, working, working. And then it gets to the husband and says, he sits. Sometimes you may feel like the guys are sitting. They're not. But you may feel like you're skirting around taking care of everything. But she takes care of his needs so that he can take care of the things that God's called him to do. We want our husbands to be the provider and the protector. We want them to do as well as they can. And so anything we can do to make that happen for them, then certainly that's what we want to do. Her husband is respected. Part of that is because she respects him. And when you respect your husband, other people then are able to respect him as well, because they see that love and that respect. So, oh, poor baby. Say, I don't want to do what we're doing. All right, number 11, celebrates in verses 24 and 25. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She celebrates life. She looks at the positive of things. She is going to be on top of things. If she needs to make something, if she needs to help tradesmen, if she needs to trade something over here, she is going to do that. She's ready for the challenges. A lot of times we can say something happens and we go, oh no, God, I just want to go cry and sit down and forget it. But don't do that for more than a few minutes. Okay, get up and go, you know what, God, you're going to help me through this. We can do this. We can do this together. God never meant for you to be a godly woman by yourself. Okay, you're woman, he's God. That's where godly woman comes from. So don't try to do it by yourself. He wants to be there for you, but you can be ready for the challenges because of him. Then be careful with your time. A godly woman's careful with her time. 26 and 27, she opens her mouth in wisdom
and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She spends time gaining wisdom, so she's able to teach, so she's also in the Word, and she's not wasteful of her time or lazy. Now, can you have some lazy minutes? Yes, I hope you have some lazy minutes. That's part of balance. You should have some downtime. You should have some time that you just veg, but you should also have some time that you're not vegging and not and neglecting the things that need to be done. If you got a whole paper due, you can't wait. You know this. I know you still do it, some of you. You can't wait till the last second and expect to pull it off. Now, some of you might pull it off, and I mean, me too. There are times I pull it off the night before, but it's just better when you say, okay, if I worked every day for 1 hour and I couldn't go to dinner until I did, or I couldn't do something fun until I did, then it would, you know, it would add up and it would make a difference. And so it's about being disciplined, just being careful with your time. It's probably my greatest area I work on is discipline. I married a guy who's very disciplined. He just grew up, you were to get up, you were to work. That's what he does. And so, you know, for me, if I don't have to get up, why do you have to get up? I mean, you know, and so it's just, some people are more disciplined. So I have to work on this every day. Then her children are blessed. Her children rise up and bless her. So the children are blessed and the children bless her. So she's blessing the children and the children are blessing her back. Part of being a godly woman is to be able to bless your parents. And, you know, your parents may be older like mine, or they may be my age. Your parents are probably closer to my age. And so you want to be blessing them. You may say, well, she's the mom. She's supposed to bless me. Well, that's not how it says. It says you need to bless them, and you need to show that. And as you do, then they will hopefully be receiving that and see the difference. Then 14, cherished, in verses 28 and 29. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Don't you love that? So her husband blesses her, and he praises her. So not only do the children, but her husband also. Why does he bless you and praise you? Because you have been serving and honoring him. And so you want to be in that mindset, even as you're dating. It's not about, you don't just wake up and all of a sudden you're married and everything changes in your relationship. You should be praising and honoring them. Yes, you don't want them to walk all over you, but at the same point, you want to be praising them and encouraging spiritual development in them, and you want to be showing them. I think it was the last session that we were talking about how, what if you have someone more spiritually mature than you, that you're dating them? You know what? Jesus isn't available, okay? Perfection isn't out there. And a lot of us would say, if I could just marry Jesus, it'd be great. Well, you know, he feels like if he could just marry Jesus, it'd be great, okay? But it's not there. So we've got to be looking for people who are not perfect, but who are pursuing a perfect God, who have a passion for the Lord. They're not going to be up here, you know, but they want to be. And you're not going to be up there, but you want to be. That's what you want to look for. It's so hard, isn't it, to know, oh, is this the right guy? If he's dragging you backwards and not wanting to go forwards, then he's not the right guy. I'm sorry, but there's the right guys out there. And he is someone who wants you to be better, who wants you to love the Lord and wants to help you love the Lord. And so that's what you want, someone who has that passion with you. And then Christ-centered. 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You want someone who fears the Lord. You want to be someone who fears the Lord. And you want that praise from the Lord. So we are to be women who are focused on Christ. No matter what happens, we want to make sure that we are not forgetting the main thing. Contributes. Give her the product of her hands and let her work praise her in the gates. So she contributes to the home. She makes a difference. She contributes to the greater good. What is a godly woman? It's really just a woman who loves the Lord and who lives that out and allows the Lord to live that out through her on a daily basis. So it's not easy, is it? Yes, ma'am. Are you talking about like with that one, like that? Okay, and those are all the things we just went over, just so you'll know. Okay, and I'm happy to send this. Someone in the last group said, could I send this? I am happy. Just email me and or get me on Facebook and tell me if you want a copy of the PowerPoint. I'm happy to do that. So I'm so glad you came today, and I'm so glad to meet you, and I sure want to get to know each of you personally. That is one of the frustrations I have when you have one of many that you don't get to talk. But feel free to contact me or anyone here and let us know how we can help you. Let me close this. Father, thank you that you want us to be godly women, but that the God part is you. And so, Father, help us just to focus on you. Help us to focus on the difference that Christ makes in our lives. Help us to be women who are passionately pursuing you. And Lord, we pray that you would mold us and make us into be the women who you want us to be and women that can make a difference and change the world for you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.